Now, are you ready? The text that Frank just read to you so ably from the Gospel of Luke requires some careful handling. It is another story of Jesus. This particular story, he spoke to his disciples, not to crowds of people. But the Pharisees, those who were looking to do Jesus in, and the teachers of the law, they were standing right there close enough to hear every word that Jesus said. And what makes this story so difficult to handle is that in it, Jesus seems to commend a dishonest man. Okay? He does. Now, the story goes like this. There was a rich man who had a dishonest manager running his business. Now, the fact is that we don't know what the dishonest manager guy was doing. We don't know the particulars of the matter. We know that somehow the rich man became informed of what was happening, and so he called in the manager to go over the books. And apparently, the discrepancies in the books were so obvious that the rich man fired the dishonest manager on the spot. Naturally, the dishonest man was distressed, having been caught at being dishonest. And as a result of that, he was absolutely sure that he would not get a good recommendation from his employer, so he knew that his career as a manager was over. Reasoning that he was too weak to do heavy labor and too proud to beg, the dishonest man came up with a plan. A plan to secure his future. So he called in his employer's debtors, all of them. And before leaving office as the manager, he altered the accounts to favor the debtors. One guy, for example, owed 800 gallons of olive oil to the rich man. The dishonest manager altered the accounts by reducing the amount owed from 800 gallons to 400 gallons. Another man owed the rich man 1,000 bushels of wheat. The dishonest man altered the account to 800 bushels. It is implied that the dishonest man did this with every last one of his employer's creditors. What he did, now hear me, what he did was totally, completely, absolutely, without doubt, corrupt. He was indeed a dishonest man. And to be honest with you, it was a good thing his master found out. He had cheated the rich man out of a great deal of money, and he did it all to endear himself to those from whom he hoped to gain advantage. The dishonest man did what he did to gain favor with those people who owed his employer money in hopes that they would help him when it was announced that he was canned. Jesus said, the rich man commended the behavior of the dishonest manager because that is the way the people of this world think. This world rewards shrewd people who take advantage of others while looking out for themselves. And it's true, isn't it? This world rewards those who look out for themselves. Okay? Sad, but true. And what I need to tell you before I move on is the one thing we don't want to do is assume that the commendation given to the shrewd man, the dishonest manager, is indeed shrewd, and that we should act as he did. For after Jesus told the story, he began to give some lessons from the story that he had told. Lesson number one, God's children should be shrewd in their dealings. I'll repeat it. Isn't it on the screen behind me? God's children should be shrewd in their dealings. Jesus said that we should use all that God has entrusted to us to influence people to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and that we should be shrewd in doing that. For then, having used all that God has given us to influence people to accept our Lord as their Lord, then we would have friends, like the dishonest manager had friends, who would work for our good in heavenly matters. In other words, if we bring them to the Lord, the army of people who serve the Lord will be greater and greater and greater, and we will find ourselves in the midst of people who love each other. If we use what we have been given to bring people into the kingdom of God, then we will have friends in heaven waiting to do good for us in that eternal place. Jesus said that having friends in heaven is better and more important than having friends who can help you here on earth. So be shrewd. Use what Jesus has given you to bring people to Jesus. And then you will have a reward in heaven where nothing corrupts. God's children should be shrewd in their dealings with men. But lesson number two, if you are a trustworthy person, you can be trusted. But if you are a dishonest person, the point of the lesson is that if you have an honest heart, you will deal honestly in all you say and in all you do, no matter what honesty may cost you. But if you are a cheat and a liar, you will cheat and lie. It's a matter of the heart, folks. And God knows your heart. He said, if you do not use your worldly wealth, the wealth that God has given you, in such a way as to honor God, God will never trust you with true blessing, with things that are more important than worldly wealth. Therefore, Jesus said, strive to be honest in your dealings with everyone, with yourself, and with God. And lesson number three, you cannot serve two masters. If what is most important to you is money, then you will not be a loyal servant to God. Money is a tool to be used in service to God. When it becomes the thing which motivates you, it takes the place of God and becomes your God. And you will do whatever it takes to get it. Cheat, lie, steal, whatever it takes. That remark angered the Pharisees, for the Bible says that they loved money. And quite honestly, if you like them love money, you're probably upset with my sermon right now. For you will do whatever it takes to satisfy that hunger and get it. you will steal, you will lie, and you will cheat. And money will be your God. But hear me now. It is a weak God, for it cannot save you. It cannot get you into the kingdom of God. Only Jesus.